Welcome back to Toad Talk. And honestly, we're just too hyped to even like mess around today.
Mm-mm.
The hype train is going off the rails today.
You will catch no messing on Toad Talk. This is an all business podcast.
This will be some business today. We have the hype train is off the rails for baseball in particular.
Mm-hmm.
We just got off the Zoom with Schlossnagel like an hour or so ago. Very pumped for baseball season. He's pumped for baseball season, as he should be, given the fact that he's the coach of the team.
I would hope he's excited.
Yes, but the status of the players and the team is just even better than I expected coming into that conversation. We're going to recap a little bit of signing day. It was a relatively quiet one on the TCU front yesterday. And then basketball got a huge win last night as well.
Yes.
So we got some basketball hype. We got some football hype. And we're going to get some Twitter questions. But let's start with baseball. I put football first in the run sheet, but I'm just way too excited after talking to Schlossnagel.
I must share the mental image that I had when we were saying that obviously Schloss is excited about baseball season. I was just having this mental image of Schloss on the Zoom being like, "Well, it's baseball season again."
Here like, it comes.
Not excited at all.
Well, little Jimmy's at the bat one more time. No,
it's not what happened.
It's not what happened. He is pumped, and I couldn't believe even he mentioned that nobody was named the Big 12 preseason team, which we all were. Like last week, I went over the slights, and I was, you can make the argument for Haylen Green, but I get a middle reliever, even though he's arguably the most important pitcher in the Big 12. I'm going to come around and say that. I could understand the argument of him not being on there. A couple bats should have been on there. No one got the nod. TCU was still picked to finish second in the conference behind just Texas Tech. But like looking at how excited he is for this team and how the freshmen are performing, especially on the offensive side of the ball, this I'm Omaha or bust.
I'm
about to buy my bus tickets to Omaha. Like get there some
bus tickets. Nice.
Well, I don't know what the safest form of travel is right now.
Greyhound bus.
I might just drive. I don't know. We might just carpool there to Omaha. Get on the team bus somehow because this excitement is off the charts. And I asked him about some of the freshmen that are shining because he had mentioned to one of the reporters, "Yeah, well, we might see three freshmen starting." I was like, "Okay, who? like what's going on there?"
Yeah.
And when he goes, "Oh yeah, Elijah Nunez reminds me of Matt Carpenter," I'm like, okay, done. I'm too excited. So Elijah Nunez is an outfielder from Arlington Martin. It sounds like he could get a starting job somewhere in the outfield. Obviously, Matt Carpenter was a third baseman, but he mentioned his knowledge of the strike zone, his ability. So I'm immediately thinking of like Matt Carpenter meets Juan Soto because you know Juan Soto is 19 years old and knows the strike zone.
Yeah.
And I think that's all those.
That's a delicious comp, and especially when you think about the fact of he's comparing. I mean, Carpenter was a JUCO guy.
Yep.
Right? That's a guy who came in with a little bit more experience, a little bit more baseball under his belt. This kid's a freshman, and he's already looking like that.
And he was he missed a year in his high school career due to an injury too. So he's like, he's got the potential. He's got the poise. Another guy he mentioned was Braden Taylor. I'm very excited about another outfielder. Plays. I think Boyers is the outfielder that he mentioned, and I'm like he described him as a strong safety. But I'm like, oh, okay, he's a strong safety, basically. But played high school quarterback, so he's still learning a little bit of football. Luke Boyer's his name. Still learning a little bit more about baseball, but he's built like a strong safety, has a powerful arm due to playing quarterback in high school. So he's still raw, but he thinks he's playing so well he can earn a starting spot.
I will officially be disappointed if he doesn't lay somebody out at some point this season.
Just a running in for a pop-up and just,
just
clothesline
somebody.
Yes. Someone coming too far off the bag, I guess. But I'm thinking right field with the hose, man.
He can bend
someone down. So that's Boyers there. And then Braden Taylor is a lefty kind of utility infielder that he mentioned. Plays some second, short, and third. So use them all over the place. Could use for a day off here and there for a couple guys. Mentions that he walked more than he struck out against the TCU veteran pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch, against the Haylen Greens, the Charles Kings, the Russell Smiths, those
guys.
That's
some discipline.
That's impressive for a freshman because he mentioned the freshman pitchers not looking too hot right now because they're going against these bats.
Mm-hmm.
But he chooses to believe it's because of how great these bats are and how veteran heavy this pitching staff is. And I'm just too excited for this.
Oh my gosh, man. I can't get the grin off my face, man. I just can't wait. I can't wait. And, you know, we talk about these great freshmen coming in. Schloss also mentioned he's got one guy playing a position who he thinks is the best he's ever had.
Yeah, well, he mentioned Tommy Sacco is the greatest defensive shortstop he's ever had. So
that's pretty high praise.
And he said his bat's improving, And he hit 304 last year. He was like third on the team in batting average for a starter anyway, and he's the best glove he's seen at shortstop, which I remember. I can't remember the name of the guy's name a couple years ago, but like he was a power bat at short and just made a handful of errors. Like, oh my god, this is so frustrating. But going to Tommy Sacco, feel very confident in this. And this is the way this alignment is going to shape up in the infield, the outfield, the bats, the pitching. It's going to be unbelievable.
Well, I just mean, like, TCU's had a few good shortstops, you know? I mean, Taylor Feathers.
Yeah, T-Bird. T-Bird, yeah. I always called him T-Bird because of Feathers.
Yes, yeah. Kaka.
But you've got him, Gray Rogers. He even says in the best shape of his life, which is impressive. He played second base last year coming into this. You always hear, there's always one guy that's like, oh, the best shape of their life coming into this time of baseball. Porter Brown is a guy that we all love. Mm-hmm. He mentioned his elite upside and still has untapped power. So, I can't wait to see this team. And so what I did was, because somebody asked the question, hey, if you look at your lineup for the last game of the season last year, is that a fair place to start for next year? And Slash said, not really, because of these young guys. Mm. So I kind of made a potential lineup. I'm intrigued to see in a couple weeks when the season starts if it looks something like this. I'm thinking that leadoff, shortstop, Tommy Sacco.
Mm-hmm.
All right. First base, Gene Wood, batting second. DH, I got Hunter Wolf batting third.
Makes sense.
Catcher, Zach Humphries in cleanup.
You got to have Humphries
in cleanup. Mostly I love Zach Humphries.
Yeah.
Second base, Gray Rogers. Third base, Connor Shepherd. And then center field, Elijah Nunez. Right field, Luke Boyers. And left field, Porter Brown. As far as your outfield rounding up the starting
I love
nine.
Porter Brown batting ninth.
Yeah.
You love to have, ideally, that nine-hole guy being a kind of a second leadoff.
Yeah.
Guy.
And he batted ninth last year, too, so it's not a different spot for him.
Yeah.
Tommy Sacco was hitting second last year, but I think with these young guys possibly earning spots in the outfield, it wouldn't surprise me to see him be a guy that steps up and takes the number one spot. This could be totally wrong, because I'm just going off of what I'm like, ooh, this could be a fun lineup. Ooh, this could be a fun lineup, and playing that game, because put something like that with this pitching staff of Johnny Ray, Russell Smith, and we have a Twitter question about who is the number three starter. The original Strike Force at Extreme Scent asked who will be the Frog Sunday starter, and then Austin Krob is going to be your third starter. And I'm like, okay, I didn't see a lot of him last year. Mm-hmm. We didn't see a lot of baseball last year.
Right.
He was primarily, in relief, pitched some in relief. But he's a guy who, if you look at potential draft picks or whatever for this year, the mock draft, he's listed at number 33 on the draft picks, and he's a guy that hasn't pitched a ton for TCU yet. So this, like, that's how phenomenal he was this fall. Yeah. And I'm reading article after article from like D1 baseball, Prep Baseball, all these other that are baseball only like sites. My dog just freaked out. That cover baseball are talking about him and how electric he is going to be with his arm this season. So I think you feel really confident about him as your number three starter, and then your Tuesday guy probably Charles King. But even like he mentioned today, Halen Green could get some starts in there, and wouldn't be a shocker, because I think Halen Green is the most important arm in the Big 12.
Yo, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to be really interesting to see in this tournament that we have going on at the Rangers Stadium how much experimentation we'll see with the lineup and with pitching and everything.
And Schlosh does that.
Yeah.
Your lineup is usually not the same game one to game two to game three. To start, at least.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect
just
time
see
to
what
come
gels,
in.
What
yeah.
Drives.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can talk, you know, all day about how, like, oh, yeah, guys like Austin Krom, like, yes, there's the potential there, but they're unproven. But hey, you know, Schloss is a lot the same as Coach P, and that there's no. First of all, there's not a single scrub on this roster.
Oh, no,
these
no.
are all really talented kids, and he has earned the benefit of the doubt beyond what anyone could hope to give him as to the people that he's putting in position. So, like, if he's like Austin Krom's ready to be a day three starter, heck, I believe him.
Yeah, he's gonna be the guy, and I, yeah, like I said, it's not even just him saying this. It's also just other baseball beat people across the country, like scouts are saying, hey, this guy could be a late first round draft pick.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't shock anybody. That's how electric his arm is. So, like I said, Charles King's there. Marcelo Perez, who was the closer the last 2 years, he mentioned is one of the guys getting stretched out. It could be a starter in some way, shape, or form because he is throwing the best he's ever thrown. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really exciting. I think we've heard this before. I remember going back to even like when I was in school that I remember hearing about, well, this is the closer last year is getting stretched out, and they just stay the closer. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll probably stay in that role because you have a guy you trust in the ninth inning, and I keep mentioning Haylen Green because he's so the lefty junk throw. Like, is he a lefty? I might have made that up, but he's so,
he certainly seems like it.
Yeah, right. No, he's so impressive. What he does and how he throws, he just shuts people down. Yeah, I was right, lefty. I was like, yeah, he's a lefty, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He just shuts people down. He didn't allow a run last year. His whip was .67, 19 Ks in only 17 innings. But he even said, I'm not trying to strike everybody out. But he's like, hey, I notice I'm not on any preseason lists. That's going to change. People are going to pay. And I want to see the Jordan meme. And I took that personally with his face photoshopped on top of it. Because that's how that press conference went today, with Haylen Green saying, hey, they are going to rue the day. They didn't like me. And I think he's a guy that you don't see a whole lot of middle relievers taking early in baseball and like MLB drafts. So I wasn't shocked to see him not go in the only 5-round draft they did last year. Mm-hmm. But somebody's going to pick up a guy who could be an electric closer, could be a great middle reliever. Because again, like we said, we've seen he comes in the sixth inning with two guys on. And hey, you have to strike this guy out. Hey, you have to get a ground ball here. And Haylen Green does it every time. Mm-hmm. So yeah. he is the consummate middle reliever that is a plug and play any situation. The queen on the chessboard, if you will, that can do anything. So.
Yes. And I mean, you know what? We can hem and haw about the grave injustice that is not putting a single TCU player on the all Big 12 preseason team. But I think in reality, Billy, it was the greatest gift that could have been given to this team, as if they didn't need any more motivation.
Yeah. Well, you know, he said when they announced the team, our team group chat, it got sent in immediately, and we were just loving it. So, yeah. So man, this is going to be a fun team to watch. Again, season starts on the 16th the season begins? The 19th, rather. They start 19th against Ole Miss at 3 p.m. That's a Friday at the Globe Life Field, Mississippi State at 11 a.m. on Saturday, and Arkansas at 7 p.m. on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So get your tickets now. I know they're selling.
They might already all be gone.
They might be gone. I think Schloss said today they're selling for – tournament passes are sold out. You can buy them for one day.
Single game, yeah.
Well, single day. Daily passes. I think you can also buy a single game, maybe. I don't see that on here. So I think you have to buy for the day.
Okay.
So you for all 3 days, that's sold out. I don't know how they're doing this. I think he mentioned that.
Yeah, I know I have tickets to the Arkansas game, but my buddy bought them, so I don't know exactly. I'm paying him back, so I don't know exactly what that looked like online.
I'm looking for... looks like tickets are $15 each, something like that. So if that's for the day, that's an unbelievable deal. That's obviously cheaper than Omaha. It might be $15 per game. I'm not sure. But, yeah, go get your tickets now. Get pumped. Get ready for the season. We also have a Twitter question about which game is most important. And I think all these teams have a very different layer to them, right? Because Arkansas is the last team to knock TCU out.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of revenge.
I think Arkansas, you've got the old Southwest Conference rivalry aspect of it. But yeah, I think the fact that was the last team we faced in a postseason, I think that's why that game, for me personally at least, has the most oomph.
Yeah. J.D. Moore at Jordan_Dallas asked. Yes, a bunch of baseball questions. He's very excited for the season too, but I'll go ahead and get to that one.
J.D. Moore, friend of the
podcast. You know J.D., yeah. Yes. Yeah, I know J.D. as well. So which of those is most important? I think Arkansas right now is the level, is like the bar, because again, they, like I said, knocked TCU out last. Mm-hmm. They're a perennial contender. They were an out away from winning the World Series 2 years ago, I think it was. The last World Series,
I thought that was the year they knocked us out. Was when they were an out away.
Maybe, whatever. They were close.
Yeah.
No, because they lost to Oregon State and Vanderbilt won the most recent one.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, or because game two, they almost had that pop up down the right field line. They could have won it, but they didn't. We keep reminding Arkansas of sad days that happened.
Yeah.
We've had some great postseason matchups with Ole Miss in every sport, it feels like.
Yes, that's always fun.
Because I think they won the regional out there 1 year, if I recall correctly.
I think so.
Or they've been in a regional out there before, and I think they've knocked them out of Omaha before. Mm-hmm. And the Mississippi State is obviously the program that almost lured Schloss away a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little underlying tune for every game here. But I'm going to say Arkansas because it is that third game. It's where you're likely to see Crabb pitch. It's Arkansas, I think, is the highest ranked of all these teams. Again, all six of these teams playing in this are in the top 12. So you're not going to see a bad team.
Like,
you're not
going to see a bad team. The fact that this tournament exists is just awesome. Like, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, I remember last year, they ended the season in L.A. where they played against USC, UCLA, and Vanderbilt, where UCLA and Vanderbilt, I think, were number one and number two in the country when they played them. They beat UCLA 8-4 and lost to Vanderbilt 4-3. And I thought they beat Vanderbilt, but apparently Vanderbilt won on a walk-off walk.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
I mean, TCU's always in these really high-caliber beginning-of-the-season tournaments with really highly ranked teams. But I think what I love so much about this one is not only are all the teams extremely highly ranked, but there's a lot of regional flair to it.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that would make it a little bit more delicious is if instead of Mississippi State or Ole Miss, you had LSU in there.
I was going to say A&M.
Yeah. Or A&M, yeah.
If you replace one of them with A&M and the other one with LSU. Although, I don't think they've played LSU in the baseball recently.
In the baseball.
I don't think they've played LSU baseball. But
we're good at the baseballs.
Good job, everybody, on your baseballs. Yes. So, very excited for this baseball season. Coming up soon here in a couple weeks. Again, get your Jordan memes ready because they took this all personally. So, we got plenty more Twitter
questions. #make it personal.
We got plenty more Twitter questions about that. We'll get back to that in a little bit. Let's do a quick run through of signing day because it was a very quiet one for TC with a big December signing day.
Well, quite possibly the most quiet signing day in all of the history of signing days.
Well, yeah. I think Oklahoma signed literally nobody yesterday because they signed everyone in December.
Yeah.
So, I think it's like TCU and Oklahoma as far as the quietest signing days. So that means they're the two best teams in the conference, right?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know how you feel about it because you're a lot more entrenched in the recruiting world than me, but it is very weird. I mean, I kind of like all of the excitement happening early, you know, it's like kind of like early Christmas, right? Yeah. But it is at the same time kind of weird that like signing day is essentially meaningless now. Yeah, it's not what it used to be.
It's so funny how usually the first Wednesday in February used to be like the day for the biggest non-actual game day in college football.
Yeah.
And now it's like, meh, it's not even like top 10 anymore. I think it's behind most media days.
Yeah.
And it changed so quickly too. I don't think they expected like 85% of players to sign in that very first early signing day.
Well, but it's not just early signing day. I think the transfer portal has a lot to do with it
too. That too. And I think it's dying a faster death because of it.
Yeah.
The early signing day has but I think the early signing day has essentially killed it. And then in case you needed a little more dirt on that grave, I think transfer portal came in and finished it off.
It's like the Simpsons meme, stop, he's already dead.
Yes. But I totally get it being I'm torn about this because I get it being early because you want kids to be able to sign, get it over with, and B, they can enroll in January if they want to. Mm-hmm. Get that done and out of the way.
Yeah.
Got no problem with that. But I also hate the kids that signed in December that a week later their coach got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another bummer. So I think the right answer to this is moving this signing day back.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's almost like, again, fully kill the February signing day, but move that back to like March or April.
Mm-hmm.
So you let some of these coaching hires go. And in a year like this where you didn't get to go anywhere, right? A lot of these kids, I think the number one overall player hasn't signed yet because he wants to go visit Alabama and Ohio State. So I think it plays a factor on that. So I think moving the February signing day back to March or April even and be like, hey, you can't enroll. Like, you're not going to enroll now anyway. So what's the point of you signing in February?
Yeah.
It's almost unnecessary.
Yeah.
So that's what I think they should do. No one's listening to me on this, but I think that makes a lot of sense. So,
Billy, we should sit on a council of sports arbitration and decision making.
I agree.
People should listen to us.
They should listen to us.
We got a lot of great ideas.
A few hundred people do listen to us every week, so it's not like no one listens to us.
That's true.
But we need more important people listening to us.
Yeah.
But TCU added Abraham Kamara. You know, I love anyone with the last name Kamara as a Saints fan.
That's got to be a good sign.
Yeah, it's got to be a good sign, right?
Either that, or he's gonna like be non-existent in college and be amazing in the pros.
Yeah, right. One way or the other. 6'1", 185 from Alpharetta, Georgia, Coffeeville Community College. He's ranked by 247 as the number one JUCO safety in the country, number 43 overall player, JUCO player in the country. So, yeah, the need at safety was real because we mentioned that we like Josh Foster. We like Nuke Bradford. I still love Donovan Collins. Holding on hope for him. We like Bud Clark. But having two guys go early, you needed somebody else. You need some more bodies there in case someone gets hurt. So Abraham Kamara fills that void. A big, fast, physical. And then you brought in TJ Carter who was, I think he played corner at Memphis. He'll be playing safety here at TCU because TCU has all the corners.
Yeah.
TCU has the probably the four best corners of the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
Hot take? I don't know if that's that hot a take.
I don't know that it is, but it's an awesome fact.
Yeah. So
it really is.
I'm excited for like a 3-2-6 defense or whatever they're going to pull out. Let's just put
all 11 in the secondary and just – no, we'll have Kari Coleman on the defensive line and everyone else
and
in the secondary.
And he can plow through everybody. Yeah. I'm not worried about it. And then another – so a handful of walk-ons got brought in yesterday officially as well. I think the most notable transfer I'm going to mention here, Aaron Hackett, kind of under the radar, Syracuse tight end. Mm-hmm. Only caught 10 passes for 63 yards and 2 touchdowns last year. But as a junior, he had 23 catches for 200 yards and 6 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So a guy that played better as a junior. I think he was their most Syracuse voted most improved player that year as well.
Yeah.
So you've got need a tight end and whether Jasper Lott comes in and plays that spot. So plenty of room for tight ends to make hay next year.
Yeah, well, and he is a Syracuse transfer, but he's from Florida originally, if you noticed. And hot take, last time we had a tight end from Florida and last time we had a player named Hackett, both of them worked out pretty good. So I got high hopes for this kid.
Who's a tight end from Florida?
Pro Wells.
Oh, okay.
Professional Wells.
Right, but he went somewhere else before that, too.
But he was from Florida.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot that he was originally from Florida. Yes. You're right. They follow a very similar career arc.
Yes.
So you're not too wrong on that.
Also, I must say that the fact that Abraham Kamara is from Coffeyville Community College gave me just unending joy because it immediately made me think of, I must give a shout out to Wes Blankenship. And if you haven't watched his Coffeetown, #Coffeetown high school football fake broadcasts, you need to look them up on Twitter. Look up Wes Blankenship Coffeetown because they're freaking hilarious. And it's every small town high school football broadcast you've ever heard.
It really is. You played a couple for me before we got started. I'm like, oh yeah, I've heard that voice before.
Touchdown, Coffeetown.
I have definitely heard that before. Oh, they just announced a basketball time change.
Mm.
TCU West Virginia will play on Tuesday, February 23rd at 6 p.m. now. It was originally going to be at 4 p.m., which I always thought was weird.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that better, but apparently that game's going to move to 6 o'clock. So
I guess for TV.
This college basketball season is all full of ups and downs, and TCU got their fair share of ups and downs the last couple days.
Got an up last night.
Got a big up last night with Jaden Ledee getting the game winner with 2.2 seconds left. And I'm going to take you back to early in that game. Me and Drew were texting each other because, again, social distancing and all that jazz.
Uh-huh.
But so we were also – usually it's like the row is usually me, Frogs of War, Colin from 360, and Drew shows up sometimes. I get it. In this year, you don't have
Drew
to
show – Drew Waltz is his royal cape.
He's got a new baby, so I get it if you don't want to come stay at the stadium until midnight. Because last night, I didn't get home until 11:30 covering the game. So in the middle of the game – we're talking about who would be the best option to bring in at a certain point of the game. And he mentioned, he's like, is Fuller really the best option? Fuller came off the bench. Fuller eventually fouled out.
Yeah.
And I was like, honestly, I think it's Ledee. He's played so well lately, and I don't mind getting big. And then he makes a play a couple minutes later. I go, I tried to tell you about Ledee. And then he hits the game winner. And I just go, I tried to tell you about Ledee all in our group chat. So I'm not going to say I called it. And earlier in the game, I said, hey, Ledee's playing with big Kenny Hustle energy right now all over the place. Again, the stats don't show up for Ledee. Like, if you look at just his stats last night, I think he had 2 rebounds and 8 points or something crazy like that. But it was like, I was like, man, okay, he had an okay line, but it's what you don't see. It's the hustle stats. It's fighting the big man for the rebounds.
Yep.
It's going after loose balls. And he did that against Missouri, too. Missouri was probably the best game he's had in his TCU career.
Ugh, I hated losing that game.
We'll get to that in a second. But I think Ledee is a guy who has come a long way. And Dixon mentioned he's like the best practice player they have. And I'm like, when's this going to show up on the court?
Right.
He's a guy we're like, oh, man, we should have gotten this guy out of high school, but he went to Ohio State instead.
Mm.
That stinks. But he hasn't lived up to the hype yet. And I think it's taken a little while, but I think he's just now getting there. And Dixon mentioned last night that he and Chuck O'Bannon, even though they're both transferring from Power 5 schools, they've played like a combined 1 year of basketball at the college level.
Yeah.
So it's kind of remarkable to see they're both juniors and they've barely played.
Yeah, well, and Ladie is, apparently, he's putting in the work. Because I don't know if saw Mark Cohen tweeted about him being back in the gym at like 7:30
this morning. Yeah, when Cohen walked in, Ladie was already there shooting. So he probably got there at 7. So not resting on his laurels. LaDiesel, as they call him. I do like that.
LaDiesel is very good.
I very much like my headline, Ladie for LeWin. Mm-hmm. I like that one a lot. Yes. Since it was instantaneous as well. And I'm really glad after I put that out there, they held on to win the last 2 seconds. I would have felt real bad if that Cade Cunningham half-court shot had gone in, which was very close to going in. I don't know if you watched the game or not.
Yeah. Oh, no, I did. Yeah, I watched that game. Because Cade Cunningham, apparently, I mean, shout out to the TCU student section, which apparently Alexander Honig was in. So
I saw his very picture. Fun stuff. Yes.
They were giving Cade Cunningham all he could handle, but apparently was motivating him.
Well, here's the thing. Cunningham had 0 points at halftime, and the student section didn't realize he was in the game or something, I guess. Yep. And then they started chanting the overrated chant, and then Cunningham had his first basket and, like, pointed to the student section, and that just riled him up even more.
Sure.
And then he goes off for 19 second-half points. And I was thinking, because TCU has played a couple times these potential first round picks, I'm gonna go overall like Marco Fultz. They played him twice, and I was not impressed in either game. He still went first overall because he was with Washington at the time. TCU played him twice. I was like, is this guy really that? And CK Cunningham twice. Now I'm like, I get it. I see the potential there, but I'm like, I don't know if he's all that. And then the last like 18 minutes of the game happens, and he goes berserk.
You're like, okay.
Like Trae Young, Trae Young
was his own animal.
He was a force unto himself, right? Because he was. I saw him throw passes that hit scorekeepers in the head because he was just throwing behind the back crazy. I'm like, this guy's wild. He's too reckless. But clearly, when you play with the best players in the world, you can make over some of those mistakes. I saw Blake Griffin play. I'm like, oh, this guy's really good. But he fouled out in the game against TCU. I think we won the last game he played.
No,
we did not win that game.
Which was, which game? There was one. It was the year we beat Kansas. We won the last game of the season against Oklahoma, I remember.
Oh, but that wasn't, was that Blake Griffin? No.
Okay.
Blake Griffin had already been in Lob City for like 4 years by then.
Oh, is that right?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. When did we play Blake Griffin then? Because that was when I was a student.
No. It was way before then.
Oh, yeah. Because he was, he was like
late 2000s. He only played 1 year.
Yes. Okay. I'm completely off on my timeline.
He played 1 year, I think. And then, because TCU played him in, he played more than 1 year there. He played 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Because I want to say he was on the cover of like the last March Madness video game. I think. So, that would have been late 2000s for sure.
Speaking of, very excited to get Insert of Layback. Whatever year it comes out in, because did you see the second tweet there?
In a few years.
We look forward to working with this in a few years. I'm like, Jesus.
Man, you fools know you're just going to reskin Madden. Just give us the freaking game. come on.
But, yeah, I mean, they still have to wait for all that. I still think it's going to be a... it's probably 2022 at the earliest that game comes out. So I'm looking up to see when they played Oklahoma with Blake Griffin. It had to have been in, I want to
say 2007, 08, something like that.
I think it was in 08 because I was a student there and I was at the game. And it wasn't that game. It must have been the year before. It must have been 07, 08. Yeah, because I remember him fouling out, and we were very excited that he fouled out. Yeah, TCU lost 90-66 in that game.
Woo!
Blake Griffin.
So be quiet about the Jamie Dixon hot seat stuff, folks. Come on.
He went 15-3 in that game and only played 22 minutes. I'm pretty sure he fouled out in that one. I don't see the exact play-by-play and all that stuff. But, yeah, so we were very excited that he fouled out. So the Dixon hot seat, right? They nearly beat Kansas. They hung with them late. Should have beat Missouri. That was an epic collapse, like an unbelievable collapse beyond reason, if you will. And then you beat Oklahoma State, and now you're like, okay, what's next? Because I was calling that a must win game. Like you had like if they had blown that lead, because they had a 10-point lead in the second half.
Uh-huh.
Oklahoma State came back and took the lead. If they had blown that one too, I'm like, okay, I'm starting to get real tired of this.
Yeah.
So they held on, got the dub. In a must-win game. They're going to play Baylor this weekend. TCU is still the last team to beat Baylor in the state of Texas. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
So if anyone can do it, maybe TCU can. But TCU's playing great right now.
Yeah.
And they led against them at halftime. So it's not totally far-fetched that TCU can be leading at halftime again. I don't think they win this game, but I think it's going to be competitive. You have to beat Iowa State because Iowa State, again, is down this year.
That's really the only game here for the next handful of games that because you go to Baylor, you got Iowa State at home, you got to win that one. Then you go to Texas, and you have back-to-back games against Tech.
Yeah, you have the home game against Tech on a Monday, then the road game against Tech on a Wednesday.
Which, yikes.
Yeah, right. And then you have home against Kansas State on Saturday, which Kansas State's bad this year.
Yeah.
So I think that's also a must-win game. I mean, you have to win.
You're hoping you can steal one of those games, I think, between Baylor, Texas, and the two games against Tech. Like, hopefully you can sneak away with one Tech win.
If you can pull one, if you can beat Tech at home. And again, the crowd was impressive for what limited it is. I was impressed with how loud they got, because they got real loud in there last night.
You couldn't really tell on TV, but...
Really, you couldn't?
Yeah.
It was pretty loud in there. Also, I'm just used to having no noise this season, so maybe it just felt louder than it was. But they were into it, man. It was really exciting to see. We'll see if this affects, obviously, COVID numbers going forward. But it seemed like it was a lot of fun last night. So Iowa State at home Tuesday, 8 p.m. February 9th. That's your next must-win game, in my opinion, for TCU. And I think they do pull it out, because they're playing way better right now than the record would indicate.
Sure. And, the Frogs have played really well against highly ranked competition here lately, just because they couldn't close the deal against Kansas and Missouri. I mean... It wouldn't shock me if you go to Texas and upset Texas. You know what I mean?
It wouldn't shock me, no, but I would be very, very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
Beating Tech at home, I don't want to say is expected, because they're pretty
That's
power.
The one that you're hoping for. You're going to steal one, that's the one you're hoping
for. I think at Texas or home against Tech are the two most likely W's in this upcoming stretch. And if, like, suddenly you pull, say you pull one of those out. You have the two wins against Iowa State, against Oklahoma State. You beat Kansas State, so you are two. You're 2-0, 3-0. You have three. That puts you up to five or six conference wins. Does that give you the NIT? I don't know if they've made an announcement on the NIT existing this year or not. But I think you're back in that NIT conversation if you sweep Kansas State, sweep Iowa State. Obviously, you swept Oklahoma State and can pull off one of these wins against Tech or West Virginia at home as well. So, yeah, I'm feeling better about the basketball team. Ladie's playing great. Nimbard had 20 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds again. Mike Miles went 18 points and 5 assists. And Chuck O'Bannon, I'm trying to get Chucky O'Bucket started on Twitter. It's not really taken off yet, but he's got 15 points and 7 rebounds.
Chuck O'Bucket. Well.
So he's playing well, too. This team is starting to come together. If they pull out the Missouri game, we'd be way more excited right now than we are.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd be like, oh, NIT ticket punch, probably.
I mean, as far as I can tell on Google, the NIT's happening. It says... 2021 National Invitational Tournament will begin on March 16th. So.
Has Texas already declared themselves national NIT champions?
Can you believe that they are the most recent champions still?
TCU was in the Final Four that year of it. So, hang the banner.
Yep. NIT national champions.
So, hype train is off the rails for baseball. Excited for football, and I'm starting to get excited again for basketball, because I see this team playing well. I see this team playing better, and it is a delight to see them be competitive at least in these games. So
it's still, it's next year for basketball. It's next year for football.
It's not next year anymore. It's this year now.
Well, yeah, it's confusing with basketball because it starts in one year and goes into the next year. You know, but yeah. Still 2021.
All right. Twitter questions, you ready?
Yeah, let's.
All right. Back to J.D. Moore, because you had a handful of questions here. Everything that's happened this last year, is it reasonable to believe that TCU is at a point where Omaha is the expectation and not the hope?
I think that's
I'm expecting
fair.
Omaha.
You've said it, yeah.
I'm expecting Omaha.
You literally said last week, if we don't win at all, it's going to be a disappointment.
I'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just too excited because the season hasn't started and I need something good to happen.
I mean, quite frankly, when you've gone to Omaha as many times in as many recent years as we have and you don't win it, yes, there's a disappointment factor just like in and of itself there.
Yep.
But yeah, this is a team, man. This is a team that could do it.
Of the super seniors got to stay an extra year with the eligibility, who stands to benefit the most with an extra year? So,
baseball?
Baseball, yes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give two answers here because Haylen Green, I think, is obviously the most correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
But that almost answers who is the super senior that TCU will rely on the most for a big season. That's Haylen Green because he's so important to this team. I think he is the pulse of this team.
I can't really think of one more important.
Right, but I think the answer there might be Gene Wood, because Schloss mentioned today how much of a leader he's grown into and become, because he transferred from Alabama, and he's going to be right in the heart of that order again. So I think Gene Wood is the guy who maybe received the most with this extra year, because I think it helps his draft stock. Because I don't know if he was a guy that was like necessarily on draft boards going into last year or not. I think with a big year for him, you could see a lot more potential going forward. And I think Haylen Green is the most important player on this team, so right. I'm clearly saying that once again. Well, but he's also a guy too that you don't, like I said, you don't see middle relievers get drafted very often, but he's different. He's a different breed. He's that guy for...
He's different. Yeah, he's different.
I want to say that with the Cardinals and Red Sox, he bounced around the middle reliever that was like changed the game of baseball for a while.
Oh, geez.
That was like, oh, we put this guy in right here to immediately stop everything. I think the Cardinals broke him, but in the playoffs, they paid him really well.
Can't remember that guy's name.
I can't remember his name either. It's very frustrating. I got friends listening to this that are freaking out.
No, yeah. I mean, my friend Cam is a diehard Red Sox fan. I'm sure he's.
What is your takeaway from Schloss regarding TCU's offseason prep? How truly affected was the program with COVID disrupting the normal schedule? It didn't sound like hardly at all. It sounded like they did a really good job of...
It's a welcome change.
Yeah, it sounded like they were able to handle it. But also, it's a sport that wasn't in season. So it was like kind of... Well, if they had a week off here or there, who's really going to notice?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't know how much that played a factor in the season, in the off season.
Yeah, I mean it's. I mean
Andrew Miller's the guy.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, I'm not finding anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, as much of an impact as it's had on this basketball season, you know, missing 100 practices, it's very welcome to have a sport that hasn't been completely ravaged by it.
And we'll see, because again, they haven't started playing yet. So what happens going forward? So as far as now, it doesn't sound like it impacted things at all. Last question from J.D. Moore. Give me the midweek game you think is going to be a sneaky good game. I'm thinking something like a trip down to San Marcos against Texas State is probably the best game. And so looking at the midweek games, you have Texas Southern at home. You have Stephen F. Austin at home. You have, Texas State's going to be tough because they're always kind of difficult, kind of challenging as well. That might be your lead in the clubhouse. Tarleton State is at home. UTA is always a tough game. They always play well. I think they beat TCU last year, the year before, rather, before COVID and everything. Didn't they lose to, was it Tarleton they lost to 2 years ago?
Oh, man.
Kind of out of nowhere. It's like, oh, wow, they shouldn't have lost that game. That was a bad loss.
You said midweek. Oh, okay, no, I was looking at Texas State and the Shriners Classic. But, yeah, I can't remember. It seems like Tarleton might have beaten us.
Tuesday game a couple years ago. I was like, oh, you can't lose that game.
Yeah.
And that was...
Got them on a Tuesday again.
Yeah, you usually play the... Or was it... Oh, was it Abilene Christian? I'm trying to think. They lost to Lamar 10-5 at home on a Tuesday. That's not a good loss.
Oh, yeah. We've got Tarleton on two Tuesdays and UTA on two Tuesdays.
Well, with this year especially, you're not going to do a whole lot of... fun non-conference games. There are a few.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're getting anything too crazy as far as with the non-conference games.
I mean, I think UTA. I mean, UTA, that's kind of like a little, almost mini rivalry. Not on the level of like DBU, which I do believe we, are we not playing DBU this year?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're playing this year or not.
So I feel like that's probably the most intriguing midweek game, and certainly one that, you know, the Fort Worth folks, we can make it out to.
They lost to Abilene Christian in 2018, 4-2 in 11 innings. So there are some of these games that sneak up on you like that. There's usually one a year, it seems like that's, and that's the thing about baseball. You just don't know.
That's
the way baseball goes. Ron Washington once said.
Gone from the Rangers too soon.
Well, he's with Atlanta now, I think.
Yep.
So
gone from the Rangers too soon.
Well, I guess that's true. Bayou City, me and him were texting back and forth kind of about, he didn't really have any questions per se, but talking about baseball, he had an interesting thought. If Schloss, does Schloss have to win a national title one day for his tenure to be successful?
No. I mean, because he's still presided over the most successful era in TCU baseball history, and it's not even close.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mean, it's a success. And I mean, you may still look back at it and be like, ah, we were so close so many times. Or like, oh, 2016, that was the year that we could have done it. Or 2021 was the year we could have done it. But I don't think you'll still look at it and be like, oh, that was unsuccessful. I mean, that would be asinine.
Yeah, I don't think he didn't quite phrase it like that. It was just part of the conversation. So I'm trying to find a way, the most exciting way to ask that question.
But
as close as they've gotten, it'd be really frustrating to not get one.
Yes.
So,
well, I'm still frustrated about 2016. 2016. Even if we eventually win, I'll still be frustrated about 2016.
Yeah, no, I'm still mad about the 2006 Mavericks. Don't give me. There's still grievances that will always be held.
Yes.
And then you've got. He goes, would TCU still be a destination if Schloss does leave someday?
A destination,
like a college baseball destination, and I have to just off the top of my head, I think Charlotte becomes the head guy.
You'd think
like that just seems to be the natural, and with the fact that he would keep most of the staff probably, and Charlotte's the guy that people love.
Yeah,
obviously the MLB ties too. I think TCU would still be a great destination, great like some of the best facilities as far as college goes.
Ideally, when you're building a program, right, it gets to this level where it does outlast the coach, right? Yeah. Like Ohio State. Was built by Woody Hayes, but it's not associated with Woody Hayes anymore. It's still a destination, right, for football, you know? In the same way, I feel like Schloss has laid the groundwork for TCU to be this perennial power in baseball that's going to outlive him, you know? It's his legacy.
Yeah, yeah.
What is
more
a legacy?
More Hamilton references.
Yeah. That's what he's doing, right? That's what he's building. What I would argue to say he has already built. And why it's insane that you don't get a single player on the Big 12 preseason team when you've got that kind of pedigree that's established over the last two decades.
And you're picked to finish second in the conference and you're a top 10 team preseason.
It's ridiculous.
That's crazy. But I don't know who gets to vote on this.
Wasn't us. They didn't ask us.
Well, no. I think the coaches vote. I think you can vote for anyone like that's not on your team, basically. Mm. So I'm guessing they all blackball.
Sounds like haters to me.
They hate us because they hate us.
Yes.
And then... we kind of talked about football a little bit where it's in a weird spot where ceiling is pretty well set and the floor varies. What can change about that the next 2 years? Again, I've been all in on 2021 for a couple years now.
Yeah.
So I think the ceiling's as high as it's going to be.
Yeah. Quite frankly, I mean, I started thinking about it. We're not going to be bad in 2022 either.
No. They won't be bad.
Yeah.
My whole hype for 2021 was kind of built around Merrick and Washington still being on the team.
Right.
So taking a bit of a hit with those guys leaving, but still very excited.
Yeah, I mean, well, we were talking a couple weeks ago, or maybe a month ago at this point, how like if you had Merrick and Washington on this defense, you're talking about potentially the best TCU defense ever.
And I don't know if – I mean.
It still could be. Right. But on paper.
On paper coming in, because you have the Thorpe winner back. And,
yes.
And Washington had a great freshman year. So
yeah, Honey Badger 2.0.
Yeah, so you're excited about that. Yeah, I think the next 2 years, I think you're going to be back in that Big 12 title conversation the next two seasons at least. And then we'll see what happens after that. Yeah. So I think it's...
We'll see where it goes.
We'll see what happens. All right, B-Banks, 21-21. Would you... give up all dairy for 38 years for a 38-game win streak.
38 years.
That's no ice cream.
Yeah,
no milkshakes.
Man. I am a...
Is that about it as far as dairy, as far as I like?
Well, cheese.
Oh, true cheese.
You know, I mean...
Yeah, I'm out on that.
Milk goes in a lot of things.
I'm out on that.
Yeah, I can't do that either. 38 years is a long time.
For just 38 dairy. Wins? Like, that's two titles. I get it. Yeah. It'd be great. But that's essentially the rest of my life almost.
Yeah, this I cannot accept.
Yeah, so I'll pass on that.
Jeez, in 38 years, I'm going to be 68.
Yeah, I'll be 72.
Man. And we'll probably still be doing this podcast.
God, I hope so.
Well, except it'll be like a holographic version,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, so we'll not be zooming. It'll be holographic again. Would you rather fight a grizzly bear using a katana or a gorilla with a baseball bat?
Grizzly with a katana. Yeah,
it's not even close.
You ain't winning that fight with a gorilla with a baseball bat.
Absolutely not.
No.
What's something your co-host 100% does not know about you? That's a tough one.
That is tough.
Because I feel like we know a lot, but also there's some secrets how do you I don't like, want to share.
Well,
there's secrets I don't like either of us want to share that we have.
You want to know something delicious about me?
Yeah, there's some good, there's some tasty things that I'm sure are
I mean,
not
like
out
there's lots of like random stories I could tell.
Did you know I can't ride a bike?
I did not know that.
There you go. Can't ride a bike.
Okay.
I'm a rare adult that never learned.
Wow.
Yep.
Man, I've got to teach you how to ride a bike, Billy.
You know how many people have told me that over the years? Starting with my dad.
I got to teach you how to ride a bike. Well, let's table that conversation. See you next weekend.
Yeah, right?
Okay, let's see. Something that you don't know about me that's not like some convoluted story or something. One time... I dislocated my toe doing a toe touch.
Okay, interesting.
Yes.
Like with your feet on the ground or feet in the air?
So I went up in the air, I did the toe touch, and then I like landed weird. And I dislocated my toe.
Oh, you like jumped and like did like a starfish type thing.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Okay. And then I landed because I used to be like do that all the time. I was like, hey, I can do this. And then I like landed weird and I was like, ooh, my foot feels weird. And I took off my shoe and my toe was like well, sideways.
Freshman year of college, like a week into living on campus, I jumped off a ledge that is no higher than this table we're sitting at.
Uh-huh.
2.5, 3 feet. And I landed. And I was like, man, my ankle really hurts. And just kept running around on it for a week.
Yeah.
And it, like, softball size, purple, whatever. Turns out I broke my talus, which is a very small bone in your ankle. I broke that.
Sounds very similar to the way I broke my wrist. Have I shown you this, that my wrist doesn't bend back further than, like, maybe 45 degrees-ish for those of you listening?
Yeah, that's maybe 45 degrees. Yeah.
So, pretty sizable difference. So, because I broke my wrist freshman year of football, continued to play with it all 4 years.
Yeah.
Got surgery on it, so I have like a screw in there, but it just never really healed right. It was like you're talking about. It's like a little bone, like right between your wrist and your thumb. But now it's like, you know, totally pre-arthritic, and it hurts when it rains, and like the whole nine yards. Like I can't move it very much.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think injuries are a fun thing to always reminisce about. I sustained a concussion at the Rickle once.
Oh,
playing a pickup basketball game. So that was fun.
I have no concussions on record, but I almost certainly have had a few. One that comes to mind is, I want to say it was like in third grade. It was definitely in elementary school. I was playing tetherball with some of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And me being the genius child that I was, I dove for the ball. And the pole hit me square in the middle of the face. Like, I dove directly into the pole. And then it was like, I don't know how long it took me to wake up. I just woke up what felt like a couple seconds later, you know, and it was like, oh, and everyone's like, oh my God. And it was like a giant like knot on my face. And
yeah. See, I felt fine. And I kept playing the whole rest of the time. And then we got back to the dorm room and I was sitting in a chair getting up to go take a shower and I could not make my body stand up.
Really?
And it was weird. I was like, I couldn't tell my body, hey, stand up. You're trying to stand up.
Wow.
Couldn't do it. That was weird. And for like the next week, trying to like walk to class or whatever, I would trip over my own feet constantly. Like I didn't have quite full motor strength, and I kept turning doorknobs left instead of right to open them. The weirdest things.
Oh man,
I have no idea how or why that happened, but I remember trying to turn doorknobs and I couldn't turn them the correct way.
Man,
I'd be looking at my hand, telling no, turn right to open, and it wouldn't happen.
That's wild.
Yeah,
man.
That's crazy. So concussions are no joke.
They are.
So
yeah.
People are like, a concussion, no big deal. We saw more B-Banks, but then a question just came in from Paul at PGDaily84. Based on your intel and conversations with people on the program, do you think this pitching staff is going to be on the 14-15 level? It sounds like it based on the buzz. It's going to be really good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who exactly was on that because they've had so many great pitchers come down through the years.
Was that Preston Morrison?
That might have been Preston Morrison. And he was so dominant in college. I'm not ready to say one of these guys like Johnny Ray is going to be Russell Smith is going to be Preston Morrison, but these guys are good, man. Like this is going to be really fun to watch.
I'm looking up here some of these the 2014 roster here. Mm-hmm. That was the year Kevin Crone was around.
I think that's the year they played Ole Miss in Omaha.
Okay, Brandon Finnegan was on that team. Alex Young, Tyler Alexander was a freshman on that team.
Riley Farrell.
Let's look at the right-handed pitchers. Traver was on that team.
Yeah, I'm not prepared to say they're going to be...
Triglav, yeah, Preston Morrison.
I'm not prepared to say they're going to be that good because these guys were all... Trey Teagle is a guy that came up.
Trey Teagle, yeah.
Is a guy that came up today that Schloss mentioned as far as players that are comparable to him now. Janzak was a... Did you say Janzak was a freshman on that team?
I didn't see
Big Game Pally was a sophomore. This is the 2015 team, I think. Yeah, those guys were ridiculous.
Of course, they're all like legendary names now because of what they did. So who knows?
These guys could be.
Yeah.
But yeah, these guys are all legends, as you said, right now.
Yeah, you literally look at this list and you're like, I know every single one of these names. There's not a single guy there like, I don't remember him.
Yeah.
Nope. They're all legit.
Last set of questions for B-Banks here. Through some Baylor witchcraft, your co-host is now cursed. Every game they watch featuring TC will be guaranteed loss. How do you convince them to stop watching?
Oh, no.
I feel like if I tell you this, you would stop watching.
Yeah, I think I would be a believer.
Yeah, I would also. After a while, I'd notice a trend. I'd go, okay, I would stop this.
And I think that is already true of me, of like third-party rooting interests, where I'm like, I'm going to root for this team this game.
Yeah.
And then it's like when I like announced on Instagram, hey, I've been rooting for the Bills. Bills, everybody, and then it was like the Bills got annihilated by the Chiefs.
No, like every team in the football playoffs, especially every team I was rooting for, lost like every game. Like it was crazy, except for like the first Saints Bears games and like the Browns first game. Like after that, every team I was rooting for lost. It was just very frustrating.
Yeah, but when me and one of my friends one time we actually went through and we were like, hey, what's your rooting interest? Record in the Super Bowl, because like we were both Cowboys fans, so like we had never watched the Cowboys in the Super Bowl because like we were five, you know, last time they were in it. So, and it was like an interesting thing to look at, like, oh, okay, yeah, this is my record. And I think mine was, last time I did it, was like right around 500.
That's probably about right. I think that's a fair. I'm interested about that now for myself.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued going back the last 10, 15 of these.
I think I've settled, by the way, and bearing in mind what I've just said about my track record, at least this year, for rooting for other teams, so that I think YellMK will be excited to know this, that I think I'm going to root for the Bucks in this Super Bowl.
Okay, good. He'll be appreciative of that. I'm rooting for the Chiefs because I'm picking the Chiefs. 33-28. I'm sticking to that score.
I still think the Chiefs are going to win, but I think I'm rooting for the
Bucks. Rooting for the Bucks. Yeah. There you go. Last year I was rooting for the Chiefs. Year before I was rooting for the Patriots because the Rams didn't deserve to be there. It's still never. Eagles, Patriots. I was rooting for the Eagles that time. So I think I'm three for three here.
I feel like there were so many years recently where I was like, can they just both lose?
But that's most times involving the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
Patriots, Falcons. Like I didn't want the Falcons to win, being a division rival. But I was so torn in that one, like because me and Matt Jennings were super close at the time, and I wanted to see Matt have that.
Yeah.
So I was probably rooting for the Falcons more than the Patriots, but I was okay with neither team winning. I was rooting for the Broncos. I want to see Peyton win one more and F the Panthers. Seahawks, Patriots. I was rooting for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
When they should have handed the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Still don't get that one. Yeah. Seahawks, Broncos. I was telling my buddies, the Seahawks are going to win in a blowout. You're like, no, Peyton Manning's unstoppable. I was like, no, Seahawks are going to blow this one out. So I was rooting for them.
That defense, man, was nuts.
Ravens, Niners. I was rooting for the Ravens because Ray Lewis's last game.
I was rooting for the Ravens.
I've always liked the Ravens kind of deep down.
We're very like aligned on our Super Bowl rooting interests so far going.
Giants, Patriots. That's fine. I don't think I cared, but seeing the Patriots lose again would have been funny.
I think I rooted for the Giants in that one. I definitely rooted for the Giants in 07.
With the
undefeated Patriots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Packers, Steelers, I was rooting for the Packers. Yes. Saints, Colts, obviously Saints.
I was rooting for the
Steelers,
Saints.
Steelers, Cardinals, I was rooting for the Cardinals in that one.
Me too.
Because they'd never been there before.
Yes.
I think we have similar similar feelings about all these games.
Yeah.
Colts, Bears, Colts.
I was actually rooting for the Bears in that one, but I wasn't upset that the Colts won because I was like, I like Peyton Manning. Like, how can you not?
Yeah.
You know?
Fair. And I'm sure we've bored enough people with all this.
That's true.
This thing.
What's the first Super Bowl you remember watching? Let's just go there.
I remember watching the 49ers and...
Chargers?
Yes.
Who were you rooting for in that one?
I was probably rooting for the Chargers, but I didn't. I don't think I knew any better.
Yeah.
How old was I? I didn't know
any better.
Well, like I was like, oh, I like their uniforms. I think at that point, that's where I was at with my fandom.
Little did I know, I was hitching my wagon to one of despair.
Yeah. 95. I was 9. Like I said, we weren't Cowboys fans, so that whole Bills run and Cowboys didn't really care anything for us. Steelers, Cowboys. I think I was rooting for the Cowboys that time because I was like, oh yeah, we live near there. So that, yeah, I think the Chargers Niners game was the one I remember the most. I was like, oh, these 49ers are really good.
My first one was 1999. That was the first Super Bowl I watched. I was rooting for the Rams, and the Rams won.
There you go.
So, and I actually, you know, the Cowboys, I've always been a Cowboys fan, and the Cowboys were so miserably terrible in the late 90s and early 2000s. I actually, like, my secondary team until the Chargers drafted LT was the St. Louis Rams, because I was like, man, that offense is so fun, and Torrey Holt, and Marshall Faulk, and all those guys, and Kurt Warner. So, yeah, that was my first.
There you go. We all remember our first time. And then last question from B-Banks, we'll finish this up here. How much would you pay to have a copy of the new college football game in your possession right now? $100, easy. That might be too low, but I would gladly part with a Chris Benjamin right now to have the new game in my hand.
I think I agree with that.
And I think next week we should go through, because you posed an interesting question: what would players be ranked and what would be like the best ratings of players in recent years?
I think
next week we should go into that a little bit deeper, because I think there'll be less football news and less baseball news next week.
Yeah.
As well. So next week I want to go into that a little bit deeper. But that's
off-season content. We're the kings of that crap.
Pretty much. Promote something, Clint.
Hey, follow me on Twitter, friends. at Clint_Foster55. Let's interface on the web. Have some fun.
Your sea shanty was good. It would have been even better had TCU happened to beat Missouri that day.
Yes.
It's a shame you released it like a minute after that game ended for some reason.
Yeah.
But yes, sea shanty was funny. Again, I'm not very familiar with that art, if you will, but that was a good one.
Look at sea shanties. Sea shanties, there's some great sea shanties out there. I think it should be like required knowledge for people to learn like at least 3 sea shanties just for singing in bars. Like, I think that would like enhance everyone's lives in a significant way.
See, me and my friends from high school, we would do the Whose Line Is It Anyway hoedowns. Uh-huh. We would write them for friends' like weddings and stuff. We would perform them at the reception of these weddings. So those were fun. Those were great. So like those are, looking back, some great jokes were made in those. So I prefer
response songs are just fun.
That's true. Yeah. Fair enough. The sea shanties, check them out. Check me out, Billy Wessels, on Twitter and all that jazz. So yeah, next week we'll talk a little bit in NCAA football. We'll talk about basketball, hopefully getting a couple more dubs, and we'll talk to you then.
You should listen. Go Frogs.